Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to the Manifesting Money Podcast.
My name's Anita Aguilar.
I am your host, as well as a money mindset coach, a manifesting expert, and so are you, and I'm going to show you how, and the CEO of a multi-million dollar company teaching manifestation. This podcast's purpose is to bring massive consciousness around the world of money manifestation, and we want to share our stories to truly help you understand that money is just energy. It's an unlimited resource that you can tap into at any given point in time. The way that you feel about money is how it shows up for you. So if you have the limiting belief that you have to work super hard for money, this podcast is for you. I'm going to be sharing the things that I personally learned the hard way, but I'm also going to be sharing tips, tricks, strategies, and stories of those who truly healed their relationships with money and have mastered attracting abundance. Now, without further ado, let's get right to it.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to the Manifesting Money Podcast. I am super happy and grateful that you are tuning in today. If you are new to the podcast, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so happy and grateful to have you in our energy. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. We appreciate every single one of you investing your time and energy here today. And just want to give a quick reminder that it helps us so much get these messages out to as many people as we possibly can when you leave us a review and like it on YouTube. So we now have these videos on YouTube for you to see. If you are a visual person like me, we have those available. So I got a couple quick announcements before we get to our amazing podcast episode today. But the first announcement is just a happy belated Mother's Day to all the beautiful souls and mothers who are not only out here investing time and energy into yourself, but also setting the example for your children. So one of the biggest things that we talk about in our community is that your children are not only learning about from what you are saying, but what you are doing. And so you practicing being abundant, you allowing yourself to receive, you allowing yourself to go for your dreams or release jobs that aren't serving you is what's setting the example for your children. And a lot of times we have this huge misconception of, you know, that money, and when we provide a nice house and we provide all these external things, which those things are amazing and important, but it's really the deep-rooted subconscious beliefs that are getting programmed from those primary times, the ages 0 all the way up until 8 years old, that is the most vital for us to really do this work, not only on ourselves, but with our children, and to really expand our mindset. So I want to give a huge shout out to all the mothers out there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that kind of leads me to our second part, which is just a testimony. So testimonies is something that we've been doing a lot on the podcast, just sharing one of the million testimonies that we get every single week from people who are not only tuning into the podcast, but who are investing time and energy into the programs. And this specific message, testimony, is from somebody who is in our Manifesting Money Academy. So Rosie, hello. Huge shout out to you. We're just so happy and grateful not only to have you in our community, but we're grateful that you are setting the example for other mothers of what is possible when you invest time and energy into yourself. So before I share this testimony with you, I'd love to just give you a little background about Rosie. So Rosie is someone who has started her work within the 31 Days of Abundance and released so much. She's a crazy money manifester, and money just literally comes out of nowhere from in her stories. And I truly believe it's just because she's very open and receptive to receiving. And throughout this journey of her now investing into the Manifesting Money Academy, she has really been allowing herself to just be. And I think this is one of the most beautiful forms of abundance, right? Maybe it's not, again, what you would be doing and buying the nice house and buying all these things. Maybe it would just be spending more time with your children. And so that's exactly what Rosie has been manifesting in this testimony that she shared with us after really manifesting that she wants to release a job and spend the whole summer with her children and just be there for them. And this is what manifested. So I'm going to let you listen. And if this resonates with you, please, please, please share it on your stories.
I knew that I was going to be there for her. And today, I was approved for FMLA, which is family leave. So I'm going to take 12 weeks off this summer, where I still have my insurance and I still have my job. as a single parent, if my baby isn't doing well, then I'm not doing well. And I need to be able to give my daughter my undivided attention and energy. And what that means is that for me is that my stuff goes on hold. So whatever I can take off the table that, you know, that I don't have to worry about so that I could focus on my baby is what I need to do and what I want to do. And, you know, Anita and I were kind of talking about how single moms need so much proof. And I think that one of the really hard things that comes up for single moms is that we have to be able to pivot, right? When our kids need something. And this is me pivoting. But I'm not sad that I'm not leaving my job. I'm actually relieved that I have FMLA because I'm still going to have the summer with my babies. I'm still going to be gone from work, have nothing to do with it for 12 weeks. I'm going to be able to support my child and still show up for myself in the way that I was intending to during the summer, exploring my options. But it also means that I can give all my energy to my child. I'm not worried about making a bottom line for health benefits or anything. And lastly, working on my mindset, not just for money, but myself and healing and just the way I see the world, the way I see the hiccups that the world throws at you is helping me in this instance with my daughter. Because yes, as a parent, I'm scared, right? Like I'm scared for her. I want her to be safe and happy and healthy, obviously, all those things. But I also know like she's going to be okay. Like I'm going to be there for her. I'm taking the time. I'm doing everything that I need to do. I'm communicating what I need to be communicating. I'm delegating. I'm asking for help. Like I'm doing all the things. And I just have this trust that we're going to get through it. And a surrender that comes so easy this time around to surrender. And curious, like, where is this going to take us? Just even more healing for ourselves.
Ah, so good. Thank you, Rosie, again, for sharing this and being vulnerable. One of the things that we really talk about in the Academy is that somebody is going to resonate with what you say simply because you've been through the experience, right? There's things that I can say it on here that you may not relate because I don't have children or maybe because I'm not a single mother. And I just, again, love to share these stories from people who are really actually going through it and shifting their mindset. Notice how she has really shifted her perception of these hard times that are happening for the family right now and really allowing herself to look at the positive. And so that, again, is something that she's not only helping herself with, but teaching her children to do too by setting the example. And so now that she has been, again, really allowing this process to be what it is, right? Because nothing is bad or good. It just is. There has been money manifesting crazy just from outside sources simply because she's in alignment and there is no emotional attachment to the money that she is manifesting. So I wanted to share that testimony with you. If you resonated with it, please reach out to Rosie. We have her Instagram in the show notes for you all. But to get to our podcast episode today, we have a special guest from somebody who we actually met on TikTok. And it was so funny throughout the interview, we talked about how Sean actually doesn't even have TikTok. It's just his team that runs everything. And the fact that this platform has connected us is so unbelievably inspiring. And I just wanted to share a little bit about Sean before we get to the interview. So Sean Dill is a 1995 graduate from Logan College of Chiropractic. If you don't go to the chiropractor right now, make sure you go, okay? For 8 years, Dr. Dill practiced in the country of Costa Rica, where along with establishing many considered to be the world's largest upper cervical practice in the world. Sean Dill is the author of the None of Your Business book and the host of the None of Your Business podcast. And he's also the CEO of The Specific, where he helps service entrepreneurs grow their business. So some of the things that we talk about on this podcast today is communicating with your money as if you are in a relationship with it. So if you are somebody who is either in a relationship right now, you're married, or maybe you're separating. Again, this podcast is really going to resonate with you when it comes to communicating to your significant other about money. Another thing that we talk about in this podcast episode is being open and receptive to receiving money when it comes to gifts or when it comes to free things, and really understanding that that is a gift from source. That is a gift from God, universe, angels, your guides, and not just, really just allowing ourselves to not put our ego in front of that giving. So last but not least, we're going to be talking about on this podcast is releasing the guilt for your success. So we just hosted a free 3-day workshop recently. And Alethea, I specifically remember her name because it sounds like my twin sisters, but she asked about this question of releasing this guilt when it comes to success. And Sean's answer on this, ooh, if you're going through this, I swear it's going to touch your heart. So without further ado, I'm going to get to the podcast episode, and I'm so excited. Hi friends, I just want to take 60 seconds to announce something that our team has been working on to help serve our community. So the announcement is that we are hosting a free 3-day Manifesting Money workshop this month. So this is our thank you for tuning into the podcast and really just giving back to our community when it comes to understanding how to educate yourself and educate yourself on your money stories. So this free 3-day Manifesting Money workshop is going to be hosted on the 24th, 25th, and 26th of this month at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for all people on the East Coast. So the reason why we put together this workshop is because there's so many people who are in our community who either have the fear of not having enough money so ingrained into their subconscious mind and their nervous system, as well as the fear of running out even after you have the money. So we're really excited to announce our guest speaker, which is Dr. Chris Lee. Oh my gosh, we're so excited to have him. He is a brain coach, and he is going to be teaching you how to create safety in the body. So again, if you are somebody who either has the fear of not having enough money or fear of running out of money, or even when everything is fine, your brain is still telling you that you don't have enough, then this workshop is for you. So again, we're really excited to see you on May 24th, 25th, 26th at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And again, we have giveaways for those of you who are investing time and energy into this workshop. So if you haven't already registered, make sure you go down to the bottom of the link and register and give Chris and I a shout out on Instagram when you get your link. So we're so excited to see you on this free workshop, and let's get back to the episode. Hi friends, welcome back to the Manifesting Money Podcast. My name is Anita and I am your host, and I'm super excited for our guest today. It's actually somebody that we brought up from TikTok. A lot of our following tagged us in a video that you posted, and I'll explain which one it is earlier or later, but I just knew when I seen that video is that we needed to have you on the podcast. So again, I wanna thank you for investing your time and energy to be here today. So, first question for you, Sean, is how are you doing today?
Doing fantastic, of course. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. It's phenomenal to be able to share this time with you, but also with all of the people that you are inspiring through your work, through the podcast, and all the content that you're putting out to the world.
Oh, yay! Yeah, we're so excited. So I'm curious, it has to do with a penny. Do you know which video that we're talking about?
About picking up pennies?
Yes! that is so big in our community. Again, just picking up and respecting money. And I do want to dive a little bit deeper, but I wanted to start off with some rapid fire so that we can get to know you and the podcast listeners can get to know you. So are you ready?
Yep, ready.
Okay, what is the first thing that you do in the morning?
First thing I do in the morning? The way my brain works, the first thing that I do is to review my day. I don't know if you want rapid fire answers, but one of the things my mentor, Dave Meltzer, talks about, you start your day the night before, and then you just go on this like 8-hour meditation. And that way, when you open your eyes, like you've literally just been on this meditation. And so what we were thinking about right before we went to bed was also a day review. And so like you just automatically start and you know like what are the things that you're prioritizing and what are the things that we need to jump on right away to get the day started properly?
Oh, I love that. Yes, that's so huge. Like, again, our community is very conscious. Again, the last 5 minutes of your day and the first 5 minutes of your day. I think hearing your perspective of, again, the importance of kind of aligning those two is so huge. So thank you for sharing that. The second rapid fire question is, what is one of your favorite books?
Well, I'll give you two because for the sake of the podcast, I would say relative to money mindset, The Little Money Bible has been absolutely critical for me and my wife, Lacey, and a lot of the people that we work with. Probably my favorite business book. Everybody goes like your regular like E-Myth. I love this book called Predictable Success by Les McEwen. It's been super amazing for us. As we have grown and scaled various businesses, to be able to understand sort of the predictable nature of the growth pattern of a business.
Oh, this is so beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Usually that's like one of the hardest questions. It's like, how do I just pick one? There's so many amazing books and resources out there. So we're going to put those down in the show notes for everybody listening here too, because we love, love, love being able to share what our guest also recommend. So next question is, who is your first mentor?
In business?
Just in general.
Wow. In general. Wow. Man, I guess I would go back to like recent memories. I would think I was really into music. So My band director in high school was Barry Ashton. And so that sticks out as sort of a first mentor. And I'm sure I had lots when I was very young, very, very, very young. I cannot remember his name, but I was a black belt in karate at like a super young age. I think maybe at like 6 years old. And so obviously, you know, your sensei there, teaches you a lot about discipline and perseverance, but I would say first one I can definitely remember would be my band director in high school.
Oh my gosh. Wait, what did you play? I need to know.
I played the saxophone.
So cool. I played the flute. I was in band too.
And I just want to say too, I mean, obviously without saying, I mean, I think that probably the cliche answer would be your parents. I mean, obviously I can remember them. Both of my parents are together and alive still. And so obviously, you know, I can remember being very young. That would be my earliest mentor, both of them playing an equal role in different areas of my life.
Yeah, I think that's so beautiful that you were able to point that out too, because again, we just never know who's impacting our lives and how much they've impacted us, right? So like the first person that came to mind was the band director, right? And sometimes we think our identity is, you know, I'm just a teacher and I'm just this and I'm just doing this, whatever. But really, it's like, again, sometimes people only hear certain lessons that maybe their parents have told them over and over again. But when somebody else says it, it clicks. So if your band director or your sensei is listening. My last rapid fire question for you is, what is the first investment that you made in yourself and how much was it?
Again, it would not be accurate. I can't really say like this is actually the first investment, but like the first one that comes to mind, we talk about a lot, like the first significant investment, sort of in the second iteration of my career, obviously was not the first, but when I had gone through some life events and was basically starting over and I knew that I needed to have a mentor, I hired Michael Port, author, New York Times bestselling author, Book Yourself Solid. And I did not have even remotely close to the amount of money that it cost to hire him, but I knew that I could get the money. And I think that that's part of what we'll talk about here today. The abundance and money is everywhere, the way an entrepreneur thinks. And so that was probably the first big investment that I made without being able to, you know, just go into my bank account and pay for it, but doing it based off of faith. And also because of that, that paid a ridiculously huge return for me.
Yes, so good. One of my favorite things that you just said was, again, the money wasn't just there, right? When the need was there, right? And the desire was there. And also just having faith. We talk about how trust and money are the same frequency. And again, sometimes we're completely unconscious, like, is this going to work or is it not, right? But even just really having that faith is what helps it manifest into the physical form, because you're operating at this highest frequency, and it's just so awesome to hear it from your perspective. And again, the story is what helps our listeners really build that belief. So I am so excited to talk about how you impact other people, and especially when it comes to services. And I know a lot of people feel guilty for charging for doing the things that they love. But before we get to that, again, I'd really love to break down a little bit more of your story, even about what you just said right now, the second iteration of your success, and really dive deep into maybe your first of what you're doing now. Was it always a plan, or did it shift throughout the years?
Yeah, definitely was not the plan. So first of all, I am a chiropractor by profession. In the first section of my life, I practiced chiropractic in the country of Costa Rica, mm-hmm. 24 years old when I graduated, went there. Was successful by Costa Rican standards, not hard to be really successful by Costa Rican standards, but that meant that I was able to afford a lifestyle in the top, you know, probably 5% of people in the country. That means you have nannies and drivers and maids, and like this, it's a phenomenal lifestyle. I have two daughters, moved them back to the States for their education, started a business, went through a partnership dissolution along with a divorce basically at the same time. So that was sort of this really big financial reset that basically caused me to start basically back from zero. Mm. And on the second iteration, started out creating multiple chiropractic offices, created a chiropractic franchise. And then people started asking, like, you know, how did you do this? What are you doing? And so I realized that if we could teach people how to market and sell in the chiropractic space, which honestly has to be probably one of the most misconstrued, misunderstood professions in the healing arts, like dentistry. You know what you're going to get, or medicine, physical therapy, chiropractic. It's super misunderstood. And I was realizing that if I could help people, one, myself and others in our franchise, and then others outside of that, to find success in that space, well, how easy would it be with dentistry or real estate or other ventures where we didn't have the same disadvantages? And honestly, it's proven to be true. It was easy to help them. And so then we really moved into the consulting area, and things just really opened up because we didn't really have a direct plan of what we were doing. And so now I find myself consulting in everything from breweries to robotics to security, I mean, all kinds of things. But what I've also learned is that the fundamentals are the same. You know, the fundamentals in going from stock market to cryptocurrency to anything that trades as a market, the fundamentals are the same. If you could learn the fundamentals, the same thing in business, the fundamentals are the same. They translate across industries. And in fact, being in multiple industries gives you an advantage because you're able to see what's working in one space. And then you ask yourself, well, how would we modify or adapt that to work in another space? And I always tell people, you know, you have to remember that the drive-through originally was a banking construct. Like, wow. Drive-throughs showed up first in banks. And then restaurants were like, well, we could use that. And now very few banks actually still have the drive-through, because like, then they went on to the ATM. I also think you're going to see the restaurants move to that ATM style of servicing as well. There's a lot of the fast food restaurants where just have a kiosk. You no longer talk to a person. You punch your order in, and then in the back, the order delivers, and then you just go and you pick up your order. So same thing. If we could learn how to take ideas and successes from one industry and move them into the other, it gives us tremendous advantage, because the people in one single lane probably aren't thinking outside of their lane, and that's really what we've been able to bring to the marketplace.
So beautiful. Okay, first off, I'm still geeking over the bank story. I'm like, what? So shocking. It's so awesome to see the way that things evolve, and again, how we just keep going. So I want to dissect some of the things that you were just talking about, and the first business coming to the second business and really going back to that place where you had to start over. So I'm very curious when you're going through that shift, because I know that there's people listening to this right now who maybe are in places where they are being separated, right, from either people that they know, families that they know. I think that alone is such a huge shift, but also the fears that come up with it when it comes to starting over new. So when you went through that shift, what were some of the biggest fears, not only with business, but just life in general, when you essentially went through the divorce and started over?
Well, I think fear is normal. Fear is just simply a lack of understanding into the unknown. And I think that's why your work is so important. Mm. So I think this is also a good moment to frame that everybody looks at the world differently. Everybody looks at money differently and their understanding of how money works. You know, you have a lot of programming that's out there that's really directed at people that work 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. They have a fixed salary, so you get a fixed amount. If you know you're going to get $60,000 every year and you want to retire, you have to figure out how to save, budget, and invest what's left over. And so there's a ton of programming that's out there for that. There's also the reality behind how money works, which is that money, and you alluded to this earlier and I loved it, is money is really faith-based. Money is a faith-based topic or subject that a lot of people are like, Sean, no, it's not. And absolutely it is, you know, and there's, I love the advent of cryptocurrency because it's really brought in this to light, right? Mm. Where we talk about fiat currency, that currency has a value because somebody says it does. And well, that's faith, right? Somebody said the dollar is one, the $10 is 10 of the ones, but they're both made of the exact same thing, right? They have just different printing on it. Why is the 10 worth 10 times the one? Well, because we said it was, and that's faith-based. And you have the 20 and the 50 and the 100. And again, it's faith-based. And then we had another example of that, that money can literally be created out of nothing at any time. On a macro level, the government did that during the pandemic. They were just like, we're going to make more money. Mm-hmm. And they made more money. And what I want everyone to understand in my life is that you could do the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. It literally, you can create money out of nothing. There's a couple TikTok videos out there of ours where we're talking about that. Mm. Because that's how I believe, and because it's faith-based, so it is belief. Because I believe that, going to zero is not as scary as it would be for somebody who didn't hold the same belief system. Because if the best I could do was get a job making $60,000 a year and I was at zero, well, I would be able to actually mathematically calculate how many years I am away from recovering everything that I had, quote unquote, lost. Mm. It's really not lost either. It's just transferred. Mm. But then what happens is if I don't subscribe to that, I can actually get back in a short period of time. I could get back in a day. I mean, $100,000 day is possible. $1 million day is possible, because money can be created literally out of nothing. I don't mean nothing like somebody just wrote me a check for $1 million, but I can transfer knowledge. I could transfer experience. I can transfer things that are not tangible in exchange for money and manifest that money instantaneously. So you always hear that extremely wealthy people have at one time in their lives been bankrupt. And that, I think that's a dangerous statement. Sometimes to people, because if you hold the belief that money is finite, right, and we work to get our money, you know, we exchange time for money, then I would never want you to be bankrupt. Now, if you believe that money is faith-based, of course, there will be highs and lows. And even though you might have been, quote unquote, bankrupt or at zero or maybe even in debt, you have the ability to manifest that and create that right back almost instantaneously if you so desire. And so I guess in that sense, it wasn't that scary. So the fear is really in the unknown. Like, how am I going to do this? Not in the fear is not like, can I do it or will it happen? The fear is in the blank slate of what do we do next to create that next influx of money. And I think that most of the people that I hang around with, that's on the day to day. Like, we're thinking over the next 6 months, what are the next opportunities that we're going to put out to the world? that we are going to monetize in order to manifest and create more currency, more wealth in our collective lives.
So good. It's my favorite topic on the podcast. And again, just your perception of this is going to resonate with so many people. Simply one, because of your story, right? Like, your story is just proof that of what happens when you have that faith and that mindset. And I'm very curious, have you always had this belief of faith with money, or is it something that developed? Like, was your family very conscious on teaching you this as a child, or was it more of something that you learned throughout the years?
My family was not conscious of teaching me this. I lived in an upper middle class family. They definitely were not frivolous with their money, but my parents did very well. My dad had a 9-to-5, and so did my mom. Mm-hmm. But I think because of that, I also think that, you know, love is in the same genre as money. And people mm-hmm. don't really understand this. This is what sort of disrupts relationships, because love is a learned concept. You learn love from your parents or in your upbringing. Like what it means, how you express it, et cetera. And we have all these books, 5 love languages, but we never really stop to understand, like, well, where did I get that? Like, is it just inherent in me? And really it's learned. A lot of your worldviews are learned, the way that your parents viewed the world, you know, lock the doors. You know, if you were a latchkey kid, you got home and you had a lot of independence. And then what happens is, because you learned that and you grew up that way, latchkey kids tend to grow up and have kids, and they become helicopter parents, right? Because then they overcompensate. And we're watching these learned behaviors. Well, money is the same way. Mm-hmm. So my wife, Lacey, she grew up in a very different environment, which means that her views on money were very different than mine, which I think, you know, if you're in a relationship, that's where you realize, like, wow, I just picked up these ideas about money. And then what I think really the charge is that we're in the constant pursuit. You know, if you're a spiritual person, it's the same way, the constant pursuit of truth. Mm. Well, I want to learn what is true about money, what is true about the way that it works, not just what they've told me, not what my parents told me or what I'm, you know, seeing on the TV about how I should invest. But I want to dive into what's true about the way money works and operates, so that I can leverage that, my spirituality, my love and emotion in my relationships, and my understanding of money for my own growth. And so I think that for everybody, regardless, so I mean, some people might be like, well, I'm at a disadvantage because my parents never taught me that. But that's fine. Your parents might not have really taught you how to love. Your parents might have never hugged you. But that doesn't mean that you can't hug somebody. You can't learn that. It's a learned thing. And so for anybody listening, you know, I just think that we're all on a path of learning, and we're all growing in our understanding. And so we should all be constantly expanding our understanding of the way money works, the way love works, the way spirituality works, and applying that in our lives.
So beautiful. One of the biggest things that stuck out to me of what you said is, like, again, that it is something that we've developed learning since we were children, right? And even with the 9-to-5, is that, you know, our parents might not say we don't have enough money or physically be saying it, but sometimes it's just physically what they're doing. Like, right, maybe they're not coming home at certain times because they got to work, they got to put food on the table. And I think even just being open and receptive to all of the things that you are wanting or willing to trust, and again, being open to all the different perceptions. And I think this is a perfect place to segment to talking about relationships with money, and kind of going back to that video of talking about the penny on the ground and respecting that penny. So in that video, you talked about how you see it, a penny on the ground, as a sign from source, from God, universe, that's telling you, hey, this is what you asked for. And if you skip over that and say, hey, it's just a penny, oh, it's just a dollar, it's just X, Y, and Z, it's a sign of, oh, it's not that important. But what you're really telling all of the abundance that it's not that important. So how would you explain this to people who maybe never heard this concept before?
Well, first of all, I love that you started with this idea of a relationship with money. Let's go back to that. That, to me, is critical. Because I really want to look at that. If I wanted to be in a great relationship with a person, right? Easier, we're like, oh, I want to be in relationship. I want to be in relationship with a person. Then I would probably want to build a relationship based off of communication, trust, respect, right? So you think about all the things that you would want to build a relationship on. And then how would I create those things, right? One of the things I find that's really interesting, because it's really seen as a negative, and I'm not talking about flaunting, although that wouldn't be bad. If you're in a relationship and you loved your spouse, like you wouldn't like put your spouse in a closet or say like, hey, you know, I'm really embarrassed, you know, about you. Like you would go out and be like, wow, you know, look at my beautiful wife, look at my, you know, husband and how amazing he is, or, you know, look at my wife, because you are proud of that. Sometimes, you know, society has made us feel really bad about being successful. Now, I'm not talking about taking a picture in front of a Lamborghini, especially if it's not yours, but I'm saying if you've done well, I don't know why you would be ashamed of that. If you've done well in your relationship, if you know, like, wow, I don't know why Lacey would love me, there's no reason why I would be ashamed of that. The next part of that, though, is then communication and trust. And one of the things that happens is the way that you earn trust is that you do what you say that you're going to do. And when you break that, then you lose that trust. And so we would want to be in constant communication. So, Anita, what would you think if I told you, like, man, I just came back from a 30-day trip. I was working and teaching in Europe for 30 days, and Lacey didn't come with me. She stayed at home. And during the 30 days, I never once talked to her. It's just like, that's how strong our relationship is. We never communicated, not one single time. Most people would be like, that's weird. Why wouldn't you call your wife? Not a text, not an email. You wouldn't check in. But here's one of the things that I've noticed is that a lot of people that struggle with abundance and money mindset, they do not check in with their money. Because they know, like, they get this money and they run their debit card until there's no more money. And then they kind of wait until the next money comes in. But I think that it would be important. A wiser thing for me, if I wanted to stay married, would be during my 30-day trip to Europe that I checked in regularly, daily, maybe more often, with my wife, because I wanted to maintain a good relationship. How many people do not check in daily with their money? I mean, I just love to wake up. So that was one of the things early, not the first thing, but early in the morning, I do check all of the financials, the bank accounts and the financials with the various businesses that we're involved in. And it's not for anything. I'm not balancing accounts. It's just checking in and making sure there's no surprises. Making sure everything's in order, and literally thinking to myself, like, to the money in the world, like, hey, you know, this is going to be a great day. Because, like, I'm managing a team, right? This is going to be a great day. Some of you are going to go out and do a lot of work, and some of you are going to leave for an extended period of time. The only thing that I ask is, regardless of whether it's a short-term leave or a long-term leave, that you loved your time here with me. And when you come back, bring your friends. Right. Mm-hmm. So money gets deployed out because it flows. Energy flows. Money gets deployed out. And if money is treated well, if money is respected, if money is in a great relationship, money comes back to you and it brings friends. There's more money with it because money goes out into the world and says, man, being in Sean's presence is safe. It's fun. It's not threatening. It's a place where money wants to accumulate and gather. We're not bound. We're not held in a box. He's free. He lets us go if we want to go. And then we come back and we bring our friends. He's not adverse to us partying. We can bring all of our friends and party in his bank account. It's okay. He lets us do what we want. And that's how you would create a great relationship. So that's number one. Like, I really hope that people can view it as a relationship, like treat your money as if it were a significant other, because it is. Inside of that, then your question, I get signs all the time from the universe that there is abundance all around me. Right? And, you know, inside the Little Money Bible, they talk about this concept of right now, Anita, money is actually flying around your head. It's like coming in that window because money is being transacted electronically over the internet. Like, we don't do a lot of dollars and cents anymore. And so that means that through the airwaves, over cell towers, PayPal and Zoom and Venmo and all of these money, this money is whizzing all around you. And so literally all you do is grab up the money that you want, because it's passing you by. It's going right in front of you, behind you. It's electronically everywhere. And so I ask for concrete signs of abundance, because I can't see that money. I can't tangibly touch it. And so every now and then the universe sends me a sign of abundance and shows me pennies and quarters and dollars and $100 bills on the ground. And when I see that, well, I always pick it up, because it is a sign from the universe. Hey, Sean, this is what you were looking for. Look, I'll one penny my way to $1 million. I don't have a problem with that. One penny is worth one penny. And so a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want the penny. Or I'll tell you too, Anita, here's my trick. The absolute best place to find money is in TSA. I do a ton of traveling. I'll get down on my hands and knees. So many of these people just left their coins on the floor. They're like, oh, it's just coins. I don't like coins. I like coins. So I'm abundantly blessed, but I will get on my hands and knees and get those coins, because they're signs. And if everybody else wanted to ignore the sign, I'm willing to engage the sign. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is more money comes. Next thing you know, like you, like in your story, you know, you get a check, you start seeing more signs of money flowing, and you're like, wow. And it all started with a penny or a quarter that you picked up. Oftentimes too, it's funny, we're programmed to resist money flow. First of all, it's socially, let's say you and I go out to a meal together, we're having dinner together, and the check comes, and I say, hey, Anita, you know what? Let me get the check. What do you say? We're all programmed to say, oh, no, 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 yeah. No. That's the same thing. You are resisting the money flow. If somebody tells me like, hey, let me get the check. I'm like, okay. If somebody just comes up to me and says, hey, I've had this happen before too. Like, hey, I saw an interview with you, and you were talking about you wanted AirPods. I was doing a seminar, a workshop, 200 people at it, and I was talking about AirPods. And I was saying, like, AirPods are weird because they pick up, like, the weird external noise, sometimes louder the external noise than you talking. I wish there was something better. And somebody was like, hey, I heard you saying that you wanted some better AirPods. Let me buy you these Beatfit Pro. And I was like, okay. I didn't really know the person on that level, but the universe was like, hey, Sean, let's get you a new set of headphones. I can afford the headphones, but the universe sends me signs, and I'm always open to that. I'll give you another one. I had a very high-level sales trainer that we did an event together, and the event went really well for the other person. It was my event. I had invited them to participate. They did very, very well at my event. And they texted me by a text. A couple of days afterwards, they said to me, this was the text. Hey, Sean, where do you want, who do you want your check made out to? And I was like, make it out to me. And I didn't know what they were talking about, but I was like, make it out to me. And they were like, oh, well, where should we send it? And I said, send it to this address. And they were like, oh, okay, good. Because you have $30,000 coming to you. And I was like, what? Fantastic. Now, subsequently, they talked to me on the phone, and they were like, man, either you are super cool or you expected me to give you that money. And I was like, actually, neither one. I'm just open to abundance. So when somebody says to me, like, who should I make the check out to? I'm like, make it out to me. Like, I don't even know what you're writing checks for. But if you're writing checks, write me one, too. And then he was like, yeah, and I was giving you $30,000. And I was like, that's great. I have no idea why you want to give me $30,000, but go ahead, send that $30,000 check, because I am open. I think that so many of us are closed off to that. We're programmed to be closed off. We don't want to receive. We tell people, no, it's okay. Like, let's start practicing saying yes to abundance.
Oh, it's almost like the fear of entitlement, right? I deserve this money because of what I do. And again, just even your perception, even shifting what they believed, right? Either the two of what was in alignment for them, and shifting and telling them that that is you being open and receptive. There's a couple of different things I wanted to recap on was the communication, checking in with your money, right? Every single day, and not necessarily the hustle grind mentality of, again, just building that relationship. And one of the biggest common things that we see in our community is a lot of people don't look at their numbers because they're scared, and they're operating out of that lack mindset. Is that, well, if I don't know what I'm spending, then, then I'm safe, or, then I don't have to worry about it. But I think the real work comes from when you can make a transaction, whether it's wiping out your bank account or if it's just enough, a tiny charge for something at the gas station, and that you don't feel anything. And just really releasing that emotional attachment. And that's what I hear when you talk about your relationship with money, is that you know and you trust that it's always coming back to you because money trusts you as well. So I love how you also give examples with Lacey and, again, your relationship, because there's a lot of people who are listening to the podcast who are also in a relationship. And it's either one person is very conscious of this, like no having that ideal relationship with money. And I've also seen a lot of people in our energy lately who are kind of like you and Lacey, right? So you both had different upbringings when it comes to money. And so this person may be getting triggered by this person's beliefs about money. And again, just having that communication within each other and explaining the backgrounds. Like, for example, I was getting coffee with some people from my hometown and really just communicating this message, building the relationship with money. And a common trend that kept coming up was that my husband doesn't know what it's like to struggle as hard as I did, because he grew up in a different neighborhood. He grew up in a different lifestyle. And it was just even that, hearing that, of like, well, maybe he didn't have it the same way that you did, but maybe there are things that he may have unconscious blocks that he doesn't even know about, right? And I think even those communication between the two, because especially if you're in the same household, is that the children are learning from what not only what you're saying, but what you're doing. And I think it helps us really open that perception of, okay, that this is something that person doesn't feel entitled. They just literally had no conscious, they just have always believed that this is a sign that money loves to come to me, like with accepting checks, like your example. Another example that you gave that I wanted to break down was the like free things, like gifts, and open and receptive to receiving. I loved the checkbook example. And again, how we're automatically so turned off to saying, oh, well, no, it's okay, I got it. And how you really perceive that as, I'm open and receptive to not only this person wanting to help me, right? Because you never know who, that might have been somebody else's manifestation to buy you dinner or give you that check. For example, there was a time where I had manifested a trip for my birthday, and I called my friends and I said, hey, let's go on this trip. I'll pay for everything. Let's go. And I had two friends. They both booked their flight. One friend went on the trip with me. One friend, one day before, canceled because they were really stressed about money. And it just really broke my heart, because I was like, oh, darn. It's just like, I know, like, I didn't want to say that, things weren't hard or anything. And I'm just really just kind of breaking down of like, wow, the belief was just so different. The literally only difference between the two people was a belief. And even when my friend came with me on that trip, she was still feeling guilty. Well, Anita, you're paying for everything. And I was just like, no, I've literally been saving for this exact moment. And I just want to bring that story to the surface, because of everything that you just said, and your perception of it is going to help so many people. Another thing about your business and how you really teach people of service with this specific topic is that you talk about how a lot of people who are in the service industry feel guilty for charging for doing something that they love. Could you break down maybe some of the signs that people unconsciously feel guilty, or maybe are limiting themselves because they, oh, I shouldn't charge for this because I love doing it?
Let me go back to real quick. I want to make sure everybody understands, and it's related to this, that you cannot give what you don't have. That's like super important. So when we're open to receiving, the reason why we want to be so great at receiving is so that we can be really exceptionally phenomenal at giving. But if I was an amazing giver and had nothing to give, nobody would know it. Mm. It's super important. So I have to, the precursor to being a giving person in the world, The precursor is that you have an attitude of receiving, that you are open to receiving so that you can give. There's nobody that can give what they don't have. So the same thing in the service world. Like, we want to, you know, service people hide behind this shield of, well, I'm just a giver, Sean. That's why my business suffers. That's why I have no money, is because I'm a giver. I would give away the shirt off my back. That's what they say. But I would say, but you can't give the shirt off your back if you didn't have a shirt on your back, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the precursor. The precursor is somewhere either you worked, but even if you worked through exchange, somebody gave you the currency, the money to buy the shirt on your back. And then, because you had a shirt on your back, if you wanted to give it, that's totally up to you. And I have zero issue with that. You would then give, and then you would be open to abundance again, because you would say, gosh, universe, I no longer have a shirt. And then somebody would come along and give you two shirts, and you would say, wow. So that's how that works. You wouldn't be ashamed of it. You'd be like, well, that's pretty cool. Now that I have two shirts, I can give a shirt away, and it's not actually off of my back. What I also find is that in the service world, a lot of times people say, the biggest issue is that I don't think that I right now could even afford my own services. Mm-hmm. So they're coaching, or they're doctors, or, and I was like, of course you could, if you really needed them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that example I gave earlier, if I needed mentorship from Michael Ford, of course I could afford it. No, I didn't have it, but I could afford it. Now, I was receiving mentorship from Michael to learn a skill set that brings me to where I am today. Today, I charge more than what Michael charged me at the time. But at the time, I did not charge more, right? Like, I couldn't say, like, well, since I paid Michael this amount of money, I'm going to go out and charge that amount of money, because I didn't have the experience, the knowledge base to be able to deliver that service. I literally, therefore, could not afford my own services. And what you have to realize is, though, but people who need my services can't afford it. And if they can't afford it, they can figure it out, because money is not finite. Money is infinite, faith-based. And I always say to people, imagine it's easy in the healthcare space. I work with a lot of healthcare providers. But if it was your son or daughter, if your child needed an intervention and it cost X amount of money, I don't know any parent that would just be like, you know what? I don't have the money. Like, nobody does that. You find a way, which is another interesting thing that says, just depending on the gravity of the situation and the tenacity and perseverance of the person in that situation, any money obstacle can be overcome, because nobody would ever let their child suffer because of a lack of money. You figure it out. And so I just say, look, in the service world, be open to abundance. The absolute best thing that we can do for poverty in the world as an individual is not be poor ourselves, right? Just don't be one of the statistics. And if you are abundantly blessed, then learn the next, you know, and that could be your next iteration, Anita, as we can teach people how to attract and manifest money. Mm-hmm. And the next thing that we need to teach people is how to give it away, right? You have to be a great giver, and you can give it away, you know, willy-nilly. There's a way that you also give that then perpetuates the cycle so that you can turn around and do it again.
Yes, we've really touched on a lot of the core pillars that we teach in our community, which is saving, giving, and spending on yourself. So usually a lot of times people have stories with usually their one is a lot stronger than the other. So for example, the most common story is that I can't save, right? So maybe they do take that big chunk of money and then they put it in their bank account, and then that money gets depleted, and then we get in this vicious cycle of being mad at ourselves, I can't save. But it's really just kind of seeing, again, shifting who you're being and shifting, is this normal for you? Because a lot of times our alarms go off, you know, that's not normal for you to save. Well, that money is easy access for you anyway. And kind of going back to what you're saying about that need and, you know, I can't afford it. And it actually reminds me of my first experience of investing into myself too, was the reason why I invested is because I didn't have extra money. Like, I was just in this place where I just never had enough. And I knew that if I wanted to get to a place where I had more than enough, not only to go out to eat with my friends and put gas in my car, but also just to book a flight to go home when there's a family emergency. And I think in my specific story, it shifted because when my grandmother passed away, my family said, if you don't have money to come down here, it's okay. And it wasn't really that mentality of, you know, we're going to make it happen. And it just realized, it made me so conscious that, oh, these are not only my stories, but it's what my whole family believes. And that's why it's so hard to say, hey, I got money now. Let's go on a vacation. Let's take days off. Is that, it's the beliefs that haven't changed. And I realized that, again, it's one thing you saying it, but it's also just you proving it, right? Like you saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to take the days off if you'd like to come. I would love to have you. And it's also just really being that example of what happens. And I also want to touch on what you said of shifting things with poverty, right? And just really shifting the belief that people with money are bad people, right? Because then we see people like yourself who are not only, you know, giving physical things. I think giving money and everything is amazing and one thing, but I also think it's just like the knowledge, like you coming on here for me today and sharing this with everybody. Like, we're very conscious of hourly rates and how much money is circulating right now just from you sitting here with us. And to us, this is money manifested. And so a lot of times when the external things start to come to our reality and you get all the luxury stuff that you've been manifesting, and then we don't feel whole because we believed that that money was going to change everything for us and it was going to give us a certain emotion. And then for me personally, I realized, I was like, oh, the reason why I did this is because I want to share the story. And so that's why, like, the podcast is such a huge driver, because this is the manifestation, right? Just the stories.
I love that too. You said not all rich people are bad, but also not all rich people are good. Mm-hmm. People are people. There's bad mm-hmm. and good people. There's bad rich people and good rich people. There's bad poor people and good poor people. There are people, you know, and hopefully everybody has the opportunity to travel around the world. There are people, my wife and I do a lot of service trips in a lot of parts of the world. And there's a lot of people whose wealth is not measured in currency. Right. And that is something that is also very eye opening to some people when you realize, like, you know, they find wealth in relationships. Mm. They find wealth in productivity, contribution. Some parts of the world, they're not trying to just make as much money as possible. Mm. A lot of people in some parts of the world are just, their day is made when they're able to wake up and they're able to smile. And they're like, you know, if you can smile, it's going to be a good day. Mm. And, you know, I think that that also puts a lot of things in the perspective, because then you're like, wow, currency is not just measured in these fictitious paper dollars and coins. And also now you don't even have dollars and coins, just these magical numbers in your account. Mm-hmm. Wealth is measured in a lot of different ways. And we would apply these same constructs in all of those ways, by the way, right? It's not just manifest currency. It's manifesting wealth in our lives. And so all of those things apply equally. That's how, you know, you get, you know, rich people that just have a lot of money, but they can't manifest joy, happiness, love, and connection. So we want to practice and apply, you know, the principles that you teach into all aspects and areas of our life, because that's how we expand our energetic field out, and we become multidimensional, not just about one thing. And if we say that one thing, I will tell you probably won't be very happy, because you won't have a lot of friends and you won't have a lot of connection and meaningful relationships, and you won't be developed as a person spiritually, but you'll have a lot of money, right? And that's where we run into some people with a lot of wealth. They're just bad people because they just didn't become fully developed.
Yes. So beautiful. So I want to kind of take it back to some of the things that we were talking about. Of that unconscious guilt that we feel when we have manifested the money. So I've heard you talk about this on another podcast, and we actually had somebody in our energy ask a specific question. So Alethea, if you're listening to this right now, this one's for you. But her question essentially was, what do you do when you do obtain success and maybe the people around you aren't necessarily at that level yet? and you start to feel, you know, bad for having nice cars, nice things, and enough money in your bank account. What advice would you give to that person who has just recently manifested that lifestyle?
Well, the idea of guilt implies that there is a right or wrong and a judgment based off of that. And in this case, for Alicia, we're talking about an internal judgment. So probably step number one, you might not be totally resolved in your understanding that your success is what you deserve. That would be a reason why I would feel guilty, because even if my external environment thought, like, you know, let's say that I took a math test and I got them all right, but all my friends and maybe my family were like, you know, you're not that smart at math. I'd be like, yeah, but I got 100 on the test, right? Like, why would what they say invalidate the objective results of me taking this test, right? Why would I care? You can say what you want. I keep getting A's in math. Objectively, I think I am smart at math because the tests say so. So the same thing on money. You can have an external environment like, hey, you got, you know, you were changed by money, your success changed you. But then what the real question is then do you feel a certain way about it? Because, you know, I love Stephen Lovegrove, America's life coach, taught me this concept of the purple elephant. And, you know, it's like if I was like, hey, Anita, you know, it's really funny, but out in the podcasting world, they say that you look like a purple elephant. If you'd be like, it doesn't mean anything to you because you know that you don't look like a purple elephant, right? But if we say something that you in your subconscious think might be true, that's then when we get defensive, right? That's when we feel a certain way. So if somebody's like, hey, oh, look at Alicia, she's gotten her success, and we don't see it as if they were like, yeah, look, you're a purple elephant, because you literally should be like, that's not true. That doesn't make any sense. But if you feel like it might be true, that's when we get defensive, right? And so I would say, number one, we have to work again on our own. Like, don't worry about anybody else. We have to worry about our own mindset relative to our success. Number two, look, the reality is that you are actually the average, as cliche as it may be, of the five people that you hang around. I've got another very controversial TikTok video that people love to comment on, where I say, literally think about the five people that you hang around with and guess, write down on a piece of paper how much you think those five people make a year. Write down, then average it and look at it and see if it's not real close to you. And then you realize, you're like, wow. And sometimes, Alicia, you have to change the five people that you're hanging around with. And then that's when everybody gets all upset. They're like, are you saying ditch my friends? I'm just saying that I want to be surrounded by people that will love and support me on my journey. And if, you know, it would be the same. Why would it be any different if I was a drug addict? Would I hang around my drug addict friends? That would be one of the first keys to not going back into a relapse, is get new friends that don't take drugs, that don't smoke around you, get a new environment. So if people keep dragging me down into debt and down into not being able to save, down into being negative about money, we'll get people that aren't going to drag you down around you. I don't mean excommunicate them, eliminate them from your life, but I mean, you need to start hanging around with people like Anita, people that understand this and the community that she's created. And that's why the community is so valuable, because it begins to rub off on you and you begin to think like, wow, I'm not the only one. There's other people that think this way. And then you begin to get concrete evidence that those people thinking that way are successful. Then you start to get concrete evidence that even though they're successful, they're not jerks, that they're nice. They're regular people. And then you're like, wow, okay. So now it creates safety. That creates that self-confidence. And now you can begin to eliminate that, you know, that guilt feeling that maybe what they're saying is true, because then you just realize that it's absolutely not true. It's just a ridiculous thing that someone else is saying, and that's their own insecurity and their own problem. If someone called me a purple elephant, I wouldn't respond on social media. I would just be like, that's weird, and I would move on. Like, I would never even give it another thought. But at the same time, if people tell me like, hey, Sean, you know, your success has gone to your head, or You know, oh, you're all, people say this about me all the time. You're all about the money. Mm-hmm. Nita, I hope that people say to you all the time, you're all about the money. I'd be like, that's because that's what my show is about. Of course I'm all about the money. What would be strange is if I was also halfway about football. My livelihood is all about money. Well, mine too. And so is everybody else who's right. Mm-hmm. We have to be all about money. It's about receiving money and giving money and leveraging money to do good in the world. So of course I'm all about the money. I'm not about anything else because money is the vehicle and the tool. But how people think about it, that doesn't really faze me or affect me in the least, because I have to know inside first and foremost, like, who I am and what I stand for.
Yes. I love how you not only set a good example of that throughout your own life, but also what you teach other business owners, right? Again, just that mentality is skill set, right? It's like you start to develop and you be open and receptive. And I think this work of what we're talking about is really hard for people, because it's you've believed something your whole entire life, and then someone on TikTok says, hey, which shakes you up and says, hey, I dare you to believe the complete opposite. And like you said, it completely not only rattles our world, but it's like it creates this place of the unknown and unsafety. And one of the amazing things that you're talking about is distancing yourself from people who aren't serving you. It's also something where you, the example that you use, the five closest people, is actually one of the things that we teach in our academy, is to literally round up those numbers. And for me personally, when I went through that exercise the first time I ever heard it, it made me realize that I couldn't help the people in my circle if I didn't know how to help myself. And so if you are going through that shift right now, and there's people in your reality, especially if they're close friends and family, guys, is that you actually separating yourself and getting around those people who are not only going to elevate your beliefs, but help building that belief, is what's going to create space for the other person too. So someone always said to me, you know, your dad has always been the way that, and he's never going to change. And well, I just, and then they helped me question of like, well, when has he ever been in a position where they need to change? And I was like, oh, and that's when things started to shift. And I think, again, me really just zoning in on my own path of the podcast, my family doesn't even know what I do. They're like, she talks on the microphone. But I think, again, it's really about pouring into the people who are open and receptive and who are even curious, right? Because you just kind of playing around with this belief, hey, what if I did believe that? And seeing how many signs come to the surface, how many people come to the surface. I like to say that source communicates us through other people, right? When you're looking at someone and seeing maybe the number one thing that they're struggling with, it helps you see that maybe, or again, the triggers, if it's triggering you, it's part of your story, right? It's really just shining light on the maybe subconscious beliefs that you have about yourself, but also vice versa. When you're hanging around people who are in this environment and they're operating at their highest frequency, you may notice little things like, well, I just love the way that they communicate. I love the way that they give. I love the way that they turn around and talk to the server. They're such a nice person. And you start to realize that those are qualities that you have in yourself, and you start to view yourself in a different lens. And that's when the external world starts to shift to match your frequency, because you now see yourself in a different self-image. So this is also good. I could do a part two. Sean, are you in Las Vegas, correct?
Nope, I'm right now. I'm in Indianapolis.
Darn.
I split time between Naples, Florida and Indianapolis.
Okay. Darn. Okay. Well, I'd love to do a part two with you. I do want to save some time for you to talk about how you serve other people and where people can connect you with. So what is the number one way that you are helping make your impact right now?
Well, we serve service providers, people that provide a service to the world that they are passionate about, that they believe if the rest of the world knew about this thing, that they could change the world. And we help them to fall in love with the idea of being an entrepreneur, the idea of marketing. A lot of people that have a service, yes, they have issues with money. They also have issues with business because they don't want to market, and they definitely don't want to sell because they think that selling is sleazy. Mm-hmm. So we work with service providers to help them to figure those elements out so that they could reach even more people and make an even bigger impact. And then, of course, to create the lifestyle that they deserve.
I'm also just really happy that you're in the chiropractic space, because I have always been a firm believer in the chiropractic. I used to be in the military, and you know how you do the ruck march? So that bag weighed as much as I did, and everybody called me Little Engine. And long story short, my breathing was super off because of it, and I didn't know why. And for the longest time, I went to the doctor. I never, ever went to the doctor either. And in the military, if you go to the doctor while you're in, you have a chance of restarting the whole entire process. So I was very scared in the first place to go. So anyway, I felt that fear, went to the doctor. And then they said that there was nothing wrong with me. So I felt more scared. And my cousin, actually, when I got back home from training, she gave me a free chiropractor session. I'll never forget it. This guy comes up to me and he's like, I don't know what he did on my shoulder, but he was like doing something, seeing exactly whatever was wrong with my back. And it was so easy for him to see that my nerves were pinched to my lungs. And my breathing was 10 times better, and it has been a huge part of my life ever since. So I always tell everybody to go to the chiropractor, but specifically, that's a really good example of, like, I didn't care how much it was. I just really didn't know. I didn't even know what was wrong with me. And I also didn't know, what I needed to fix it. So I've been through chiropractors here in San Diego, and I'm kind of pinpointing some things I heard about a previous episode that you did, talking about people promoting their services, is that I could physically feel his money blocks when he was telling me how much his services was. And to be honest, the only reason why I didn't go back there is because I felt this huge resistance of, well, you know, if you can't afford it, if you can't do this, if you can't do that. And it just really made me feel like, one, I wasn't really confident. Is this the service that I need? And then two, you can physically just feel that resistance. So I wanted to point that story out with the services that you do, because again, people, it's not always about what you say. It's how you physically feel when you're saying it too.
100%. Chiropractic is my secret weapon for success. I don't usually talk about that, but I think that for longevity and performance, you know, all these entrepreneurs, you know, all of the things that we try to do, because we know that we are our business. Chiropractic definitely is my secret weapon. Our clinics is called The Specific Chiropractic Centers. And we have two amazing docs in San Diego. You should go check them
out. Nice.
North side of San Diego.
Awesome. Well, we'll be sure to drop the links of all of the different ways that everyone can work with you here. I do just want to leave some time for you to just tell everybody where they can find you. Where are you most active? I know I found you on TikTok, but where can people find you?
Yeah, well, I want to direct everybody to www.gethopetoday.com. Get Hope Today. That's our free bundle. We've packed up basically the best of the best of not only for me, but also my wife, Lacey. We'll send you out a digital copy of our Amazon best-selling book, None of Your Business. We have tons of the keynote talks that we've given different places. We have a couple of courses. One course is on time management. We have all kinds of different courses available for you. All of it's free. There's no sales. You just go there. It's our gift to all of your listeners for you having us on and allowing us to share. And there, I believe that on that page, there's all of our social handles where you can plug in with us. And it, you know, it's really funny. There's another TikTok video where we talk about, I don't actually have TikTok.
Oh my gosh.
So our team posts it, but I don't have it on my phone. But it's the place where the funniest stuff happens. So they will show me. Usually I'll come in and they'll be like, Sean, you got to see what they're saying about you on TikTok. It's like, because I live in Florida in the winters, the people, and I usually wear a black shirt. I don't know why, but they're like, never trust a man with a black shirt and a tan. There's if it's like, you know, December, January, and I'm really tan, and they're like, what's going on? They make fun of my hair a lot. It's like all these different things. I think you, did you do like a, I don't even know what it's called, a duet? Did you do a duet?
Yeah, probably a duet or a stitch.
Yes.
I think I did a duet.
I saw that. They were like, oh, like I get to see when people. So and if anybody's listening, do duets on our content because my team shows me that. They think that's super cool. They're like, look at these people. And then I get to know you because I'm like, oh, wow, who is that? Who's doing the duet? So, yeah, plug in with me. Here's one other tip that I hope I can live up to is that I've noticed through my journey that successful people are very accessible and very responsive. Mm. So not on TikTok because I'm not there. But if you message me on Instagram, if you email me, my email is Sean@blackdiamondclub.com. Very happy to help out in any way that I can. I want to be there for you, Anita, and any of your listeners. Anything that I can do, please reach out. I'm more than happy to help you in any way.
Oh, yes. That's so good. I love what you just said right now. It's again, how successful people are very open and receptive to giving, right? Like not only like the time, but also just the answering questions or whatever it is, right? I think that's so huge. And I want to thank you again for your time and energy on this podcast. For all of our listeners who are tuning in, whether you are on YouTube or on Instagram or TikTok, please, please, please take a screenshot and tag us both on your favorite social media platform and just tell us one thing that you got out of this episode. It helps us really, really understand what you want to hear more of and your biggest breakthroughs. And I also just want to say we have so many listeners, and I know that's like one of the things that we put on the back burner and we're like, wait, and people message us and we're like, holy crap, I had no idea that you listened and you got that breakthrough. So it really means a lot to us. We listen to all of those testimonies and we will see you all on the next episode. Bye, friends. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Manifesting Money podcast. If this episode resonated with you or shifted your paradigm in any way, shape, or form, please stop what you're doing right now and write us a review. This simple act of kindness helps us get this podcast episode out to as many people as we possibly can. And we also want to know what resonated with you and why. So be sure to join our free Facebook group that you can find in the show notes or tag us on Instagram. Either way, we love when you're in our energy and we love rewarding you for listening to the podcast. When you're ready to truly break down your money blocks and learn how to make money work for you, not the other way around, go to the show notes and learn how you can work with us and join our community of people who are making massive shifts in their finances. Thanks again for tuning into this episode, and we cannot wait to share your testimonies. We'll see you in the next episode.